We're continuing our study in 1 Thessalonians. This morning we're looking at verse 14. But let me read verses 13 and 14 together. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. But last Sunday we emphasized the fact that He is speaking to brethren. Brethren indicates that He is speaking to the more serious child of God, which implies that not every child of God is a brother or a sister from a scriptural point of view. I don't want you to think that I'm saying that we're not related in the Lord, because we are. But when it speaks about being a brother, the Lord is speaking, in fact, Paul is talking about those who are seeking to do the will of God. And not every child of God is seeking to do His will. There are some that are wandering and walking in their own wills and doing the will of the flesh. And so we know that when He is speaking to brethren, He is speaking to, as He says in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, and in verse 4, He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He is speaking to the beloved brethren who have been chosen. So this is a special group of people. And these are a group of believers who have a hope. The hope of a child of God who is a disciple is to share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in His coming kingdom. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in the family. You don't have to hope you're saved. You can know your salvation. You're simply receiving what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross when He died for your sins. And the Word of God says, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. After our salvation, we may live faithfully for Him, or we may not live faithfully for Him. And all you have to do is read in the Old Testament, and you can see the children of God who live faithfully for Him for many years, and then turned away. Solomon is a good example of that. David is a good example of one who was faithful to the Lord, who fell away from the Lord, and then came back. And that's one of the hopes that I want to share with you, is that if you have wandered away from the Lord, you can come back and begin again afresh and anew. So, He is speaking to brethren. He is speaking to those that have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that hope is a living hope for one reason. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn to the right. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're leading into our thoughts this morning with a little background scripture to help us to gather our thoughts. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God the Father has begotten us again. That just simply means that for him to have begotten us again, he had to have begotten us before. So the new beginning has to do with the hope of a child of God to share in His glory. And all of this is made possible by means of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let me just say this. If Jesus Christ be not raised from the dead, our faith is in vain. What does it mean to have vain faith? It doesn't mean you can't be saved, because we're not saved by faith. We're saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by the verb. Faith is the ingredient that we have in our life that allows us to please Him. If Jesus Christ be not raised from the dead and is at the right hand of God the Father, it is impossible for any child of God to please Him. And God the Father hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that's what we are talking about in verse 14 in 1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 4. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again..." Here we have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in the first part of this verse says, "If we believe..." Now this is not a one-time belief, because this word "believe" is in the present tense. When it's in the present tense, it means continuous action. It's believing continually. And because it is in the present tense, it's an indicator to us that we can stop doing it. We can stop being faithful in believing that Jesus Christ is our high priest. And as soon as we stop believing that Jesus Christ is our high priest, then we are back in bondage to sin. And we are not pleasing God. So it's important for us to believe that Jesus died and rose again. And we need to continue to do that. And if we will continue to do that, we will continue to appropriate the power of Christ and His resurrection. Now, it's a conditional phrase. If we continue, or if we believe, present active. Now, some people will tell you that this is a first-class conditional, but that is just, which means that everybody is faithful, and we know that that's not true. Not everybody, not every child of God is faithful. I am sure that you have had problems in your life in being faithful to the Lord, and I'm sure you have friends that you know are saved that are not faithful to the Lord. And so, not every child of God is faithful. Not every child of God is believing in the present tense. Notice that he says, "Believe that Jesus died and rose again." The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient for our salvation. His sacrifice on the cross was a perfect sacrifice, and it needed no additional events to satisfy God for us to be saved. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient for our salvation. It's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that was necessary for us to live victorious. And as a child of God, we want to be a victorious Christian. And because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, we can live victoriously. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it tells us, "With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them." The apostles in the early church were speaking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In Acts chapter 2, verse 30 and 31, it says, "Therefore David," it's referring to David, "being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, He would raise up Christ to sit on His throne. He, seeing this before, spake of what? The resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is to be associated with Him doing what? Being seated upon His throne. To be seated upon a throne means to be ruling and reigning, to be a king. And David prophesied of this resurrection. In Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was of the seed of David, according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Notice that it was of the seed of David who prophesied of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to sit upon His throne. And what was being declared by His resurrection? That He was the Son of God. He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And He was raised out from among the dead ones. And He just wasn't raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead with power, authority. This was not something done in weakness. But when we come to the throne of God, we come to a place where there is power for victorious Christian living. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Paul was praying for those at Ephesus that they might know and that they might have the spirit of wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. And in verse 19 he says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe?" Present active participle. There is no greatness of His power to those who are not faithful to the Lord. If you are not faithful to the Lord, you cannot expect His power. At the mercy seat or at the throne where the Lord is. According to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Paul wants us to know that power. He wants us to know that it takes believing to receive that power. And it's there for us. And it is exceeding great power. When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies, far above principalities, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, or the one that's coming. We know that our enemy is the devil. We know that his emissaries are our enemies as well. Our high priest is set over all of them. There is none above him. That is exceeding great power. So Paul wants us to know that. And it belongs to those who are believing, present active, that Jesus Christ was died and that He rose from the dead. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul shares with us his aspirations. Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. This is a man who had spent 3 years on the backside of the desert, one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a man who had been stoned to death at Lystra and had gone to heaven. Did you know that you cannot know the power of the resurrection just simply on those terms? To know the power of the resurrection is to participate in having fellowship with the Lord and going to the mercy seat. Paul says, if by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection of the dead. Paul says, I want to experience the same resurrection that Jesus Christ experienced when God raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory. When Jesus Christ was raised out from the dead ones, He was declared who? He was declared the Son of God. Paul wanted to be raised from the dead and declared one of the sons of God. Not the Son of God, but one of the sons of God who will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Paul says, not as though I had already attained this ambition, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, notice that Paul is talking to brethren. He's talking to dedicated, believing children of God. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That high calling of God is the out resurrection from those that have perished, who have no hope, who have stopped believing in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have stopped appropriating His high priestly office. Paul is trying to encourage us to get involved in our prayer life and coming before the Lord and appropriating forgiveness through His shed blood and grace for service. And of course, it's really impossible to do that without being in His Word. If you're not reading the Word of God daily, I would encourage you to do that. That's part of a living hope. How do we have a hope, by the way? It's only through the Word of God that we have a living, that we can have any hope. And how can it become alive? It becomes a living hope as we read His Word. And I would encourage you to do that. Now, again, back to the conditional phrase that we were talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. If we believe, present active, that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. What this is saying to me is this. Those who have been faithful to the Lord in believing, and those who will be coming back with God, are also the ones who have been faithful in believing. You see the word even so, and the word also, that comes from two adverbs. And when those two adverbs are together, they are also translated even so also. It's also translated like in Matthew 17:12, likewise also. Just as we which are alive are believing, will be caught up to be with the Lord, God the Father will be bringing those that also were believing with Him. So who is it that is going to be gathered together to rule and reign with Christ in the heavenlies? It's the ones who have been faithful in believing. Notice the word in Jesus. This is the word in is from the Greek word dia, from which we get the word diameter. Diameter means to to move through, and in Jesus or through Jesus implies the appropriation of the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not talking about those that are in Jesus. We have a reference to those that are in Christ further on, and like in verse 16, I think it is, those that are the dead in Christ. This is not talking about the dead in Christ. This is talking about those who have passed on, who have had hope, and that have been believing through Jesus. Let me tell you, our believing and being faithful in believing is all because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has to be through Him for us to do that. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren," notice again he's talking to brethren, "I declare unto you the gospel," that is, Paul's gospel, "which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved." That's a present passive. Ye are being saved. This is not referring to the salvation experience when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This has to do with the saving of our lives for His coming kingdom. When we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we were born into the family of God. We were saved. It's settled. You don't have to worry about it again. Now, once we're in the family, there is a salvation process going on. And that salvation process has to do with our lives, our living now, and the life that we will live in the coming kingdom. That is an ongoing deliverance, an ongoing salvation. And Paul is referring to that in this passage. "By which also ye are being saved, if you keep in memory what I preached." The word "keep" would be better translated to "hold fast," to hang on to. And this also is in the present tense. Again, I remind you that the present tense tells us that you can stop it. You can be unfaithful to it, and it will stop. And if you are not keeping or holding fast in your memory what Paul preached, then you are going to perish. You're going to quit. You're going to lose the life that you want to have in the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you're going to spend eternity in hell. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about what we will be doing during the millennial reign of Christ. Whether we'll be doing what everybody will want to be doing, like one sitting on the right hand of the Lord and the other sitting on the left hand of the Lord, like James and John, James and John wanted to do, and all the other apostles got all bent out of shape because they wanted it. They wanted to sit on the right hand and on the left hand. Let me tell you, people are going to want those right and left hand positions, and the closer they can get to the right and the left hand of the Lord, the better. And if you quit being faithful, you might as well forget about being on the right hand or the left hand. That's what we're talking about. That's the life that we're talking about that you can lose. So Paul says, you who are being saved, you who are being delivered, you're being delivered because you're keeping in memory what I have preached unto you. Unless you have believed in vain. What does that mean? Unless you have believed what I have preached unto you in vain. What that means is this. What I told you about Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom, you've quit believing that it's true, then you have believed in vain. All the suffering that you went through because of your testimony of having a desire to rule and reign with Christ has been wasted. It's through suffering that we receive crowns and rewards. And if you quit, you forfeited those rewards. Now, Paul says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, salvation, according to the Scripture, that He was buried. And I mean, we were discussing this in Sunday school, and Ben brought out a very unique point. There is a separation of His burial between His death and His resurrection, so that you don't get the resurrection confused with the crucifixion. They are separate events for entirely different purposes. The death is for salvation. The resurrection is for victory. Period. If Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be saved. But I would be a defeated, miserable child of God. And I am so thankful that God did not want me to be miserable. We don't have to live miserable lives. We do, but we don't have to. And he said, and he says, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's what Paul preached. A separation of the resurrection. And of course, he goes on in 1 Corinthians 15 and talks about, if there be no resurrection, your faith is vain, my preaching is vain, you're perished, you're in your sins, you are hopeless, miserable, poor, wretched, etc. Now, who are they that believe? In the present tense. In John 5, 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He is not talking about getting saved here. Saved people are not guaranteed to be overcomers. Faithful people, faithful children of God, can be overcomers or be victorious. The word overcomer comes from the Greek word Nike. You ever heard of Nike shoes? Well, Nike shoes, they're referring to victorious. People who wear their shoes are victorious. They win. They're winners. So that's not a bad name to have on your product. Nike means victorious. Nike means overcomers. Now, verse 5. Oh, by the way, even our faith. Faith is a flag to tell us that this has to do with believers and not being saved. It's saved people who exercise faith. It's not lost people. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh? That's a present active participle. Who are those who are continuing to be victorious over the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. When we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're believing that He was raised with authority and with power. It wasn't a mouse that came out of that grave. It was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And a lion is no kitty kitty. I was reading here recently about a man who wanted to have tigers to live with him at home. He found out very quickly that a tiger weighing 600 pounds has 10 times the strength of an athlete. And of course, wanted to take his tiger for a ride in his car and call all of his friends. He had a cell phone. He was going to call all of his friends, and he had this tiger in the back seat of his car, and he forgot the keys. So he ran in the house to get the keys, and while he was in the house getting the keys, it took 5 minutes. The tiger chewed the dashboard out, chewed the seats out, ripped a hole in the roof, and ran out into the neighborhood. 5 minutes. He was in the house again. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Son of God. He has got power. And we need to relate to Him with power. And that's the power of the resurrection. Again, Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Who is he that overcometh? He that overcometh is the one who is believing that Jesus Christ has got the power and the authority, because he was declared the Son of God in his resurrection, Romans 1:4. And then I gave a list of verses that you can refer to, and those who are listening on the tape. I just made a list of all the passages in Revelations 2 and 3 about those who are overcomers, those who are victorious in their Christian life, what they will receive. In Revelation 2:7, it says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Revelation 2:11, he that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. In other words, the baptismal fire, he'll be wearing an asbestos suit. And all of his rewards will be gold and silver and precious stones. Wood, hay, and stubble won't be there. Revelation 2:17, he that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. You won't be using the cell phone to brag about your new name. That's just between you and the Lord. Revelation 2:26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. If you're faithful, you're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12, he that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Revelation 3:21, he that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Somebody's going to qualify to sit on the right hand, somebody's going to qualify to sit on the left hand. But his throne is big enough and powerful enough that he'll have more than two around there. Okay? And then Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and he shall be my son. We will also have power in as a victorious child of God. He says, and he shall be my son. Let me tell you, when you're declared the Son of God, you're going to be declared the Son of God with power as well. What kind of power? The power over the nations, or over the cities that God will give you. 10 cities, 5 cities, whatever He gives us. So therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and with this we'll close. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the Nike, the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain? He is risen. And He is risen with power and authority. And He is above every enemy that we have. Even death, He is above it. May God help us to be faithful in appropriating what Jesus Christ has so wonderfully provided in His resurrection, the victory over sin, the world, the flesh, the devil. And may the Lord help us to be faithful and victorious. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We want to be believing this truth, because, Lord, we want to be with those who will rule and reign with You in Your coming kingdom. Bless the message to each of our hearts. May we be encouraged. May we be exhorted, as Paul exhorted those in Thessalonica, to be believing that Jesus died and that He rose again, and that those who have perished or have gone asleep in the Lord will too one day come and rule and reign with You. We want to be together. Thank You again for the knowledge of Your Word that You've given us, and we pray You'd bless it to our lives, to Your honor and glory and our good and profit. In Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen.